take your Bible, look at Amos tonight. We're going to read the letters, and before we pray, I'm just going to give you a little something at the book of Amos tonight. And just a few minutes. Amos chapter 1. It says, the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tobiah, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah the king of Judah. Where the last time you seen Uzziah the king? You found that in Isaiah. The Bible says, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. In the year that the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And Amos said, it was in the year, in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. The Bible gives you a little insight there about the earthquake. And he said, Lord, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And you heard today on the news how Donald Trump signed this agreement, but the Palestinians weren't there. But he had Netanyahu and a few others, and I think they've given, and yet Netanyahu was for it. They were giving the East Jerusalem to as a capital for the Palestinians, and they were giving them some other pieces of ground and stuff like that. But the Palestinians don't want no part of it. And he says, it's been 75 years. Every time we come up with a plan, they're against it. And they, why? Because they want the whole deal. They want everything. They want it all. And that's just like the devil wants in your life. He don't want you to let him have anything that, he wants it all. He just don't want a little piece of you. He wants it all. And he said, Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitation of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. And for thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions, and so on. Go over to chapter 2. This Amos was a herdsman, as he just read, and he was talking about how he was unworthy or not worthy to be able to serve God, be a prophet. And chapter 2, he goes on and down verse 4, and thus saith the Lord. I'm trying to go quick and skip a lot of this. For three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I'll not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord, have not kept the commandments, and their lies cause them to err. When I read that, it made me think about what's going on in Washington with all the, trial and all that. They're all a bunch of lying things. They're a bunch of liars and lying about this, lying about that. And the answer for, I thank God, publicly, I'm going to say I thank God for Donald Trump. I thank God he's in power. Thank God. I mean, I'm glad it ain't Hillary. Hallelujah. Or Biden or any of them folks. They would sell this country out in a heartbeat. But I thank God he's in power and he's a president. And I pray for him. I do. I pray for him. I pray for even for the senators and congressmen. But there's a bunch of lies. There's lies. Everybody's, I'm looking forward to the day when Jesus Christ is reigning. Amen. When he's on the throne, I ain't got to worry about no unjust anything going on. He's going to be taking care of it all. I mean, and Brother Dave, the Bible tells you over in Zechariah, it says if they don't come to Jerusalem to worship the king, they won't get no rain. And, and people reading Isaiah and all that says the child shall live 100 years and all that. That's in the millennium. And here Jesus Christ is going to be on this planet, and they're not going to want him to reign either. They're not going to want him to empower. They want to get rid of him. And verse 5, it says, I will send a fire from Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. Think about a pair of shoes. They sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. And you read history about where men that got saved, they before they were saved, they were drunkards, they were all that stuff, and they took a pair of shoes off their children so they could that died. And rather than going taking the money that the wife gave them to go get medicine, the child died, and they took the brand new shoes somebody donated to the child and went and sold them for another drink. And it says, they sold the righteous for silver and poor for a pair of shoes. That panteth after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, and turn aside the way of the meek, and a man and his father will go in unto the same maid to profane my holy name. And he's talking to Israel. He's saying all this stuff that they were doing. And the Lord, people said, well, God is unjust. No, that's crazy. That's crazy to say God is unjust. I tell people, if you got what you really deserve, man, he would bring fire out of heaven right now and just for even for his children, bring fire out of heaven and light us up. If God is just and God is holy, and we don't deserve his mercy, that's for sure. And there's nobody in this room that's, you know, I mean, the Lord talks about three men in the Bible saying that if Job and Daniel and Moses, you know, he said, I wouldn't destroy, but they would only save their own life. But men are all together, you know, you think about man in his best state is all together vanity. We're just vain things. You look at your own self. If you're kidding yourself. If you look in the mirror and you think how great you are, God, have mercy. I look in the mirror, I think, what a vain thing. What a vain thing. Vain man. And Doc used to say, he's looking in the mirror and he says, what are you up to, you stinking dog? What are you up to? And Roloff said, he said, I wouldn't even trust myself in broad daylight. And don't ever trust yourself. I mean, the best place to be is at the feet of Jesus. Amen. That's the best place to be. Humble yourself. And they laid themselves down upon the clothes laid to a pledge by every altar. And they drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. Yeah, I mean, they're just like you read over in the book of Daniel, read about Belshazzar. He's drinking wine out of the gold cups that came out of the temple to the gods that he believed in. And that very night, he gets overthrown and killed. And man, it's just man in his best state altogether, vanity. You read all the way through this Bible, you find man war and rumors of war, and you find all this stuff. Man's turning it back. They'll live for God for so long, and then they turn it back. I've seen Christians live for God for so long. I've been here 33 years, seen them go to church, be faithful for so many years, and then fall out and quit. And man, go out and live like hell. And then you get a call one day, and you know, this happened, that happened, and you know, this person hung themselves, and this person shot themselves, and you hear about, and these are saved people. Saved folks. And you think, why in the world? And God's talking about the nation of Israel here. But I'm thinking about how people are. Just a man's cruel, very cruel. The Bible says, man is best state is altogether vanity. And the Bible says, yet destroyed I the Amorites before them. And he's talking about when he brought them out of Egypt. He said, I destroyed the Amorites before them, whose height was like the height of a cedar. He was strong as the oaks. Yet I destroyed his fruit from above. Notice this, his fruit from above and his root from beneath. And man, Lord took him out and from above. It means something was going on in the atmosphere. The fruit from above and his roots from beneath. Also, I brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness. Lynn and I, we celebrate our 40th year. Anniversary being saved, you know, and then we was married for 40 years. We've been married now 43 years, getting ready to turn 44 on February. And 40 years, you think, well, that's a long time. Well, really, it ain't. Can you live for God for a year? Can you live for God for 2 years? I mean, we've tried to live for God since we've been saved and try to keep going forward. I believe we ought to be climbing. We ought to be getting better rather than getting, and you see a lot of Christians going backwards and falling down. It ought to be getting better as the days go by. We sing that song, He Gets Sweeter As The Days Go By. We ought to be getting better as the days go by. But a lot of Christians are going backwards. They're going down. It shouldn't be. And the Lord says, I've destroyed the Amorites from before you. And I took care of you. I did this for you. And he says, I've destroyed the fruit, these Amorites. And then he says, I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Led you 40 years through the wilderness. And we watched that thing, man. You watch that Ten Commandments and see that water open up, that Red Sea, and then Joshua goes out there, touches the Jordan River and opens up and crosses over and goes up to Jericho, and man destroys Jericho, and you see all that stuff going on, and you think, man, they're going to live for God forever, ain't they? They're going to stay for God. They don't stay that long. They don't stay that long. Now, like I said, man, his best state is altogether vanity. We're no better than anybody else, but I'll tell you what, you ought to strive to try to stay right. And it's a battle to stay right. And you gotta continually remind yourself, hey, I need to get up. I need to get up and go. I need to do something for God. And talking about that, y'all be praying for the Sunday about going up to Wesley College, having a service there at Wesley College. But look what the Lord says down here. He says, I'll raise you up your sons for prophets. I raised up of your sons for prophets, and of your young men for Nazarites. It is not even thus, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord, but ye gave the Nazarites wine to drink. They weren't supposed to. Samson was a Nazarite. He said, you gave your Nazarite sons wine to drink, commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not, prophesy not. He said, you know why I was thinking about it? I think that's just like America. People don't want you to preach to them. They don't want you to. I was down there at Wesley College, and that lady is she's a chaplain, and she's a woman chaplain, 77 years old. And I was giving my testimony, and she said, she looked over at the table to me. She said, you know what? I said, do I have to be politically correct? She said, no. There's a do's and don'ts? She said, no. She said, you're what we need. I said, no, we need God. That's for sure. We don't. But you know what? At least I can preach what I'm supposed to preach. Amen. Prophesy not. Behold, I am pressed under you as a cart is pressed that is full of sheaves. The Lord says, I'm just, you put so much and I'm pressed under you. It's a burden. Therefore, the flight shall perish from the swift, and the strong shall not strengthen his force. Neither shall the mighty deliver himself. Neither shall he that standeth, that handleth the bow, and he that is swift of foot shall not deliver himself. I'm thinking about, Joab and his brother Asahel and those guys being swift on foot and their force that they had. Neither shall he that rideth the horse deliver himself. And he that is courageous among the mighty shall flee away naked in that day, saith the Lord. He's talking about when the trouble comes on Israel. But he's talking about the reason why he's saying all this is because of the sin that come in their life. And he said, man, that load of sin, that thing, y'all never got a thing right. You never would get it right. And I've seen Christians that never want to get things right. They never want to get any fire in their soul. The Bible says David stirred himself up in the Lord. He got things right between him and God. Even when Nathan came in and said, you're the man, he didn't have him killed. He just got on his face. He said, God, forgive me. And most Christians, man, you preach to them, they don't want to get things right. God will pinpoint things in their life and say, you can't go no further until you get this thing right. They won't do it. They just won't do it. They'll just keep on. They think, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. And the Lord says, you're just overloaded. You're overloaded. You got a heavy load. And, man, the sin is loading you down. Your cart's overloaded. He said, man, you press me down. You're pressing me, and the load that's under that cart is about ready to break the wheels off. Sin will do that to you. Sin will cause a nation. The Bible talks about righteousness exalted the nation. You know what's happened to America? You know why America's in the shape it's in? Because of sin. This America's under a load. It's under a load because of sin. You think about all the stuff that's going on in our country right now. And man, back in the 1950s, they would have turned up. Man, they would have said, no way this is going to happen around here. They would never happen. Now today, you got to have armed guards, and you got to have guards in the church. You got to have guards in the school. You got to have guards everywhere you go. You got to have people with guns to be able to counter somebody that's coming in with a gun, some nut trying to come in and shoot everybody for what reason? Just to get fame or want to see some other people suffer because they suffer, and they could get relief, man. They could get relief by getting right with God. You know, all the things that you go through is just, it would take care of itself if you just got right with God. If everybody got right with God, wouldn't that be something? If everybody got right with God, that load would be less and less and less. You wouldn't have that carriage, that wagon loaded down. And the problem is most Christians walk around with a load on them. They won't get the thing right. Sin is a great spoiler of God's works. It does. It spoils God's works. It'll spoil whatever God's going to do. You know, the Bible says one sinner destroyeth much good. And we've been around this church. Y'all been around this church. We've seen one sinner come in and destroy a lot of good things. We've seen one sinner come in and destroy a lot of good families and destroy families, their ties and family. Me and Eric went and seen Brother Nathan. I'm just going to say it. We went and seen him. You know what Nathan said? He said, he's in jail. He said, I can't come back to that church. I said, why not? He said, because everybody's going to be looking at me. Me and Eric looked at each other. Yeah. And he says, well, everybody's going to be talking about me. Well, yeah. All you got to do is get up and say, hey, I'm sorry. God forgave me. I got it right. I'm sorry. You know what? Pride. Pride won't let them do it. Pride won't let people get right. His own stinking pride. Last night we went down and seen Joe's daddy, and the Bible says, confess your faults one to another. And I got up and I said, we're all full of pride. We're all wicked. We just, God forgive us. We want to get things right. Pride causes sin. The Bible says God resists the proud. You know, you want to get God to do something in your life, just get off your high horse. Get off your high horse. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And, you know, he says, I'm pressed unto you guys. You know what people say? They say, I ain't done nothing wrong. It ain't wrong. I'm done. The Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. And I ain't done nothing wrong. I'm all right. You know, what bothers me when people, you walk by and you try to get people on track and they say, I'm good. I say, are you saved? If you're not saved, you ain't good. If you're not saved, if you're not living for God, you ain't good. You find a lot of people, you know, sin is just a great spoiler of God's works. And sin, if sin gets in a church and it can get, and we've had it come in here. It came in the garden in a perfect environment. It was perfect. Man, no sin. Man, no wicked thoughts. Everything was perfect. Sin came in. Yep. Somebody opened the door. Somebody let it in. Man, then they got pressed under. And they were out, kicked out of the garden, out there bearing all the load. They would have to work by the sweat of their brow. Women would have never had to know what it was like to have children. I mean, in childbearing, never would have had to go through a valley of death to bring forth a child. Never would have had to because of sin. She said, well, that's already passed. That's all past. Cain killed his brother because of pride. Because of pride. But sin, it attacks God. And the reason why I'm saying this tonight, I'll tell you, folks, if we want to see I've been here 33 years, and we want to see more people saved this year, 2020, the year of our Lord, we want to see more people saved, let's keep sin out. Let's keep the sin out of our lives. You can't worry about what so-and-so is doing. Don't you walk around and be a Holy Ghost inspector. Don't walk around and say, well, I'm going to check them out. No, you just take care of you. You take care of you. You make sure everything's all right between you and God. Just don't get like the prodigal son's older brother. Don't get like him. And start, you know, well, I'm not going to go in there because he's in there. I'm not going to do that because he's in there. That guy, he already ruined his inheritance, but you don't have to ruin yours. Sin attacks God. It attacks God. He that knoweth to do good, doeth not to him sin. I mean, it attacks God's goodness. You know, the Bible says the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance. Sin attacks God's goodness. And, you know, people go, they'll go, you know, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and they'll be miserable. They'll come to, I've seen people come to this church. I've seen them come in here, and they're just as miserable as, you know, and they leave miserable. They come in, and they hear a message, and they sit there, and they're just as miserable as when they left, and where they could have went, and they could have got things between them. Whatever the guy was preaching made no difference. They could have got things right.
That's right. Amen.
Whatever he was preaching. So if I go forward now, they're going to think I've done what he said. Who cares? Who cares? Keep your heart right. Keep your fellowship with God. Sin is a great spoil of God's works. Sin attacks God's goodness. I mean, the goodness of the Lord. I mean, sin abuses the mercy of God. I mean, people go on. You see Christians have been going on and going. And you run into them at work. You find out they've been saved and, you know, and abuses God's mercy. And I know that, you know, the Lord's long-suffering, slow to anger. Thank God he is. Thank God. But, man, what I'm saying is tonight, Wednesday night, you're the cream of the crop. And we look around. We thought, what kind of cream are we? Sour cream. We're the cream of the crop because you're here on Wednesday night. And you're wore out. You're tired. Keep it right. Keep it right. Keep it right with God. Sin abuses the mercy of God. Take your Bible, look over in Lamentations chapter 3. It says, Lamentations 3, Oh, go back. Jeremiah. Okay, get in there. Lamentation 3, it says this. Lamentation 3:20. It says, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's where the song came from. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good on them that wait on him, and to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silent, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. And it's a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. But man, go back to Amos. It's sin is a defiance of God's power. It's a defiance of God's power. It defies God's power. I mean, the Lord's able to deliver you from whatever sin that so easily besets you. The Lord's power is able to. What happens is people say, well, I can't get delivered from that. And we've seen guys, the homeless guys come in, and, you know, they had drug problems, drinking problems. We've seen people come in and have all kinds of different problems. And I'm an example. God delivered me. Brother Eric's an example. Some other you men in here, example, God delivered you from the drink. God's delivered you from the drugs. He delivered you from the smoking. He delivered you from so many things. Sin is a defiance of God's power. When the Lord says, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do it all. Yep. Find Christians today sitting at home, not doing nothing for God. They're miserable. When little Earl went down to preach that funeral of Miss Patterson, and he called me 10 minutes before I got there and said, they want you to preach. And I thought in my mind, I said, I don't know. I don't know him, but I'll go. But then after I got there, and I said, Lord, I told you I'll do whatever you want me to do. It makes no difference. So I go in there. Earl's there, and we're talking. And there was a bunch of people there. So I go up to the front. Finally, I go to the front, and I seen that I knew him. He got saved here. His wife killed herself. She was only 50-some years old. She was a prison guard. She got discouraged. And the son, I told Earl the other day, last Sunday or Sunday before last, I said, Earl, get that boy. Get him back in church. Go after him. Go after them kids. And I went down the aisle on the front pew, and I'm talking to him. I seen Sister Pam was there. So I had Pam knew her. I had Pam come up and give her testimony. Others came up and gave her testimony. But man, when I finished, he said, what did you do? I preached on suicide. I didn't do it to slap him in the face. I did it so, I said, a lot of people teach that if you, you know, committed suicide, you'd go straight to hell. I said, our sister was saved. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And I said, I wish I could have talked to her. I went through the whole thing. And I don't, Earl, how many folks do you think raised their hand? They said they got saved. A lot. I don't know how many it was. I quit counting to 20. But Lord will use her. I mean, he can't use you here. That sister went ahead and killed herself. But if the right man preaches the gospel to him, he'll use your life there. But sin is a defiance of God's power, saying God can't help me. God can't deliver me. God's not able. You're pressed down. Load is heavy. God's able. More than able. He's more than able. I'll tell you something else. Sin, I'm going to have to stop. I got to stop right there. It's time. We got to stop. Father, I pray, God, you help us, Lord, to keep sin out of our lives.